to some degree. Of course, this is about Damon Hoffman versus Gary Lidholm for Seed A. But to me, it's actually a much bigger question than that.
The Haines Borough has ordered a recount of the election ballots for Assembly Seat A. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Nicholas Shotkovsky. That story and more up next. The Haines Borough announced Thursday morning that there will be a recount of the ballots cast for Assembly Seat A in the October 6 borough elections. The existing vote count, which was approved by the Borough Assembly at its October 13th meeting, showed Gary Lidholm beating write-in candidate Damon Hoffman by just 5 votes. Borough Clerk Julie Kotze ordered the recount to take place beginning at 1 p.m. Sunday, October 25th, in the Public Safety Building's Assembly Chambers. Kotze's order was made after legal consultation regarding a petition for recount submitted to the borough office by 12 local voters calling themselves supporters of Hoffman's campaign. Gershon Cohen, who was one of the voters behind the petition, explains that Hoffman wasn't actually involved in the effort to have a recount.
You know, the group of us who are putting forward this request for a recount are not connected to Damon Hoffman other than we did support him. I mean, I won't deny that I supported Damon in the campaign. However, Damon is not personally involved in this at all, in this recount. You know, in to some degree, of course, this is about Damon Hoffman versus Gary Lidholm for Seat A. But to me, it's actually a much bigger question than that.
Cohen believes that a recount is appropriate in any election that involves such a close race.
Well, traditionally, recounts are done in most places when the vote count is very, very close. In many locations, recounts are mandatory if there is less than 2% difference between the vote counts of the two leading candidates. In this case, the difference between the candidates, if you go by the numbers from the canvas last Tuesday, are 0.5%. And certainly, it is very reasonable, given that there are so many question ballots, given that it was a campaign that had a write-in candidate, and so there are a lot of votes that need to be hand-counted, and one has to interpret spelling and look at, you know, how they circle, you know, how they filled in the spaces on the ballot, etc. It's certainly very reasonable to say that, look, you know, the people in the valley should have the person that they duly elected. I think that everyone would agree that democracy is supposed to be the cornerstone of our country, and so to have a fair and open and completely accurate vote is just fundamental to the workings of the community.
The legal decision on which Kotze based her order states that a recount of ballots for Assembly Seat A should proceed, but should, quote, be limited in scope only to a recount of the ballots by the election board which allegedly made the error, end quote. The petition contends that a number of ballots were incorrectly counted or omitted. Cohen says that existing borough code does not currently contain language defining how and when a recount should happen.
I mean, the code says that that you're allowed to have a recount. But when the code goes no further than that and doesn't tell you how to do it or when to do it or how it will be done, then you have an arbitrary application of law and you can't have that. So the state law is very clear and it says that where the borough does not have rules in place to deal with a situation for elections, that the state rules should apply. And so that's what we did. We went back and looked at the state rules, and the state rules say that as long as you file for the recount within 5 days of the canvassing, that's a legitimate request. And you have to jump through some other hoops. You have to have 10 people sign and put down your statement of belief of why you think a recount is necessary. And we've done all that. So we've fulfilled all the state requirements. And the borough, there's really no question in my mind that the borough should move forward very quickly and have a recount. According to state law, they should have the recount within 5 days of when the request is made. And the request is going in the 15th. So, believe within a few days, we should have a recount and we should know who really won the election.
According to Kotze's email, the October 25th recount will be conducted publicly and in accordance with the Borough Code's provisions for hand counting during a regular election. Borough Clerk Kotze was unavailable for comment at the time of this broadcast. Cluckwan Inc.'s General Income Trust is distributing dividends to shareholders for the first time since 2007. Trustee Ralph Strong says that this year's dividend will amount to $20 per share.
Well, the last dividend that was sent to the shareholders was in December of 2007. We've been almost 2 years between distributions. The board declared a distribution for this year that is being sent to the shareholders on October 21, Wednesday, of $20 a share.
The General Income Trust has 25,300 shares outstanding, held by approximately 400 shareholders. The trust was formed more than a decade ago, says Strong.
In 1996, Cluckwan elected to form trusts for the benefit of the beneficiaries, and the General Income Trust was created, and funds were put into the trust to be used to generate income that would be distributed to the beneficiaries. And the stock market plunge in January of 2008 caused us to stop making distributions, and then the markets coming back in 2009 were starting to generate some income there, and that's what provides the distributions.
Patty Brown, a fourth grade teacher at the Haynes School, recently attended a math and science conference in the state capitol.
The math and science conference that was held last week in Juneau was a conference put together by the Alaska Council for Teachers of Mathematics and the Alaska Science Teachers Association. There were two very powerful, energetic women that were the co-chairs of it, one a retired Juneau School District employee and one a current one. And it was the result of a long, about a year and a half's worth of work. It was a big step for the for Juneau and for this conference to be held in southeast Alaska, which made it much more accessible. As most of us down the panhandle, transportation is an issue. It takes multiple more legs to go to places like Anchorage and Fairbanks. So it was seen as a great opportunity for southeast, and actually the conference chair people were surprised that so many people came from across Alaska, as they usually do when it's held at an urban hub. But the idea was to bring together teachers from all levels of experience to have access to new strategies for teaching math and science, new content material, new actual curriculum materials, as well as a chance for the teachers to talk to each other about what life is like in the classroom and what we wish it was and how to get it there. So a chance to talk to experts.
Brown attended the conference to improve her own skills and education, but she was also among four Haynes residents who gave presentations.
So I was able to go to an institute this summer that I'd been looking at for years. My heart's always gone out to the fragility of boys as they navigate their way into adolescence and how to hold onto them. Sometimes I think school is kind of geared more to how girls learn best, and we have to make a little more of a conscious effort to accommodate boys who tend to have strengths in spatial areas and mathematics and concrete sorts of learning, whereas girls are able to learn when verbal tasks are the primary both input and output strategies. So I provided a 45-minute kind of talk and discussion on ways that we can change how we deliver our instruction to consider boys more, and ways even to make our classrooms more accessible to boys who tend to need a little more movement. But as we're finding out, if we pay attention to how boys learn better and provide those opportunities, it's actually good for girls and boys too, not only because the boys' needs are getting met, but there are lots of us who have a brain that's kind of partway in between. Things aren't just associated with the X and Y chromosome, but we are who we are for lots of different reasons. But it's kind of, I was hoping to raise everybody's level of awareness some, as mine had been over the summer.
Brown explained how enhancing the sophistication of the math and science curriculum is an important part of the educational strategy in the Haynes school system.
It's kind of one of the major themes these days on ways to leave no children behind, is to differentiate and and try our best, even though we are one human being with 20-some in a classroom, how to accommodate all the different levels of learning and the different means of learning. So we hope that by gathering up some more tools for doing that, that helps us. And it's also, it's just plain energizing to realize you're part of a greater whole. I've found that I'm definitely a whole-to-part learner, so going to conferences helps me see where my place, where I am in the whole scheme of things, and I hope that's true for others. The Haynes is in the middle of working on a strategic plan, so we're talking about what we really want to have be the outcome for young people as they finish their education in Haynes. So it gives us a place to put that and to think of everything in the 21st century now, even though most of us were trained in a different century. These kids are going to be needing to do jobs that we don't even know what they are yet. So I think we're daunted by that task, training kids for technologies that aren't even invented yet, but will be part of their everyday life in 15 years.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Nicholas Shotkovsky. You can listen to KHNS News anytime online at khns.org. Just click on the Listen tab for stories from the last week or go to archives for earlier stories.